Let us pray as we open our hearts and minds to God's word for us this morning. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our passage for this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's word. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. This morning's passage tells us a little bit about the in-between times, the time between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension, the time when Jesus was present with his disciples still, but present differently than the way he was before and how he would be later. In these between times, Jesus appeared to his disciples and offered convincing proof that he was indeed alive. And the disciples came to believe that indeed he was. In these in-between 40 days, Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God and the disciples received an extension of the instruction that he had given to them before in the power of the Holy Spirit. In these liminal times, the disciples were seeing and hearing that in Jesus Christ, reality had been reframed, that creation had been restored in some way, that a new creation had come into being. In Jesus Christ, the logic, the rules of the world had fundamentally shifted. Life in this world was not a zero-sum game. Who the world assumed was blessed, who the world assumed as beloved of God, who the world assumed had been forsaken and cursed by God based on what people saw, that was not ultimate reality. The powers at the center did not ultimately have the victory. Death ultimately did not have the victory. The one who died a dehumanizing death, looking to all the world as if he had been forsaken by God, was now alive. The kingdom of God that Jesus said would be in their midst, the kingdom of God that had come near in the life and ministry of Jesus in the before times, that reign of God had been shown completely in the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And cycles of violence and oppression and revenge and hurting of one another could be interrupted. And the project of seeking power and control at the center could be abandoned. The pursuit of worldly symbols of God's blessing could stop in and through Jesus Christ. And the disciples were freed from those pursuits that ultimately separated them from God and from one another. And they were freed for faithfulness to God's will, to rest and belong to God, and belong to and with one another. I imagine that in those in-between 40 days, Jesus embodied and explained these things as he was completing his earthly ministry and finally gave the disciples instructions to stay in Jerusalem until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And having seen and heard all that about the kingdom of God and the promise of the Holy Spirit, the disciples gathered together and asked Jesus, "Jesus, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" I imagine Jesus' face and emojis, blink, blink, big eye, side eye, rolling eyes, face palm. "I've been telling you about the kingdom of God, and what you're interested in knowing is whether I will restore the kingdom to Israel." Jesus' response is, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, and in a total non sequitur, the disciples ask about the kingdom of Israel, and Jesus shifts them back and reframes the conversation back to the kingdom of God. Then, as the disciples look on, Jesus was lifted up and disappeared out of sight into the clouds. And the disciples just stood there, looking up toward heaven. I've been reflecting on this story in conversation with a book I've just read. It's called From a Liminal Place, an Asian American Theology by Professor Sang-Yun Lee, who taught theology at Princeton Seminary. Sang-Yun Lee, in his book, talks about the marginalization of Asian American experience in the U.S. and invites folks to the possibility of liminal creativity instead of giving in to marginalization. And to do this, he begins with the work of a scholar named Victor Turner and his thoughts on what liminal space can mean, and also thinks about bell hooks and her thoughts on both the negative and positive ways that marginalization can be experienced and utilized in the life of people and communities. When we talk about liminal, we, I think, often speak of liminal times, as those times when we are in between what was and what will be. Perhaps these 40 days in the passage between what was in the life and ministry of Jesus and what will be when the Holy Spirit comes. Perhaps liminal is also those times of personal life and vocational transitions and loss that we will at all at one point experience. Perhaps these days, when we are in between what was before COVID and what is still emerging out of that time, could also be called liminal. And these liminal times can be disorienting, even painful. They can be filled with grief, sometimes even when good transitions are in the works. This is because, Victor Turner would say, there is a separation from what was before. Separation from the things that we knew and relied upon in terms of social structures and the ways that we relate to one another and the rules that we live by together. Social separation from the things that we knew were conventions and agreed upon ways that we carried about work and community. Perhaps even separation from the things that gave us a sense of stability in our identities and our relationships. Separation from the things that help give meaning to the world and ourselves within it. And the disciples seem to be experiencing this as they encounter their beloved teacher, who they watched die and be buried and is now alive. Experiencing this as they watch him being present with us and then also then being lifted up and disappearing into the clouds. Perhaps some among us here are experiencing this as a separation of what was during the times of separation and isolation, remote and hybrid work and study, of remote relating and what is still emerging in this hybrid present and future. And many churches around the country and around the world are experiencing this as the separation from expectations of in-person worship and how a community is defined and experienced, how we will relate to one another when part of the community is online and part of the community is present, and how that then shapes discipleship as we continue on into the future. One of the ways that we can respond in these liminal times is to try to unseparate ourselves from what was when we're experiencing the separation. Jesus teaches and demonstrates a new social order, the fullness of the reign of God and its possibilities, and the disciples want to bring back the old social order of the kingdom of Israel and have that restored to them. There's a push for normalcy that can sometimes be that effort to unseparate. There's an insistence in pockets of our communities that community can only really happen in person, or that maximum efficiency and collaboration can really only happen when folks are in offices or classrooms together in person. And there are some demands that we go back even further and unseparate us from social orders of decades ago, when certain citizens or certain people were more equal than others. a call and a reflection that our kingdoms ought to be restored to us again. So the disciples just stood there, looking up toward heaven, looking for and looking to Jesus who had been lifted up. They stood there looking up toward heaven, trying to unseparate themselves from a presence that had grounded them and formed them and had given meaning to their lives and relationships in the before times. Until the two men in white robes stand by them and ask them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward the heavens? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now, these men could have given a spatial reference for Jesus coming the same way that he went up. But it could also be that the reference was to timing and expectations. Jesus had just told them that it was not for the disciples to know these things, the timing and what to expect, those things that were under God's authority. Jesus had just reminded them that it wasn't about finding stability and control and predictability in the uncertainties of life, but rather faithfulness, about being Christ's witnesses in the immediate communities and beyond. And it seems that the invitation of these men in white robes is lean into the liminality of this time. And perhaps that is the invitation for us as well. And there's another reminder of the liminality in that statement, that they were called men of Galilee. The folks in Galilee had experienced political, social, cultural, and religious in-betweenness, life at the edges, at the margins, for a long time. And they're being reminded that instead of allowing that marginalization to frustrate their creative imaginations and their creative relationships and the creative liminality that is possible for them, instead of allowing that frustration to make them seek the center and the restoration of power, that they might actually be called to continue living positively at the margins in those liminal spaces, to open up new possibilities, new spaces for prophetic knowledge and action, and new space for communitas. One of the possibilities of liminality is communitas that can be found within that space. And Turner and Lee describe communitas in this way. It's a spontaneous and egalitarian and direct way of relating to one another as human beings from an area of common living. It's also a way of relating not as people who are playing roles, but as total human beings in the fullness of ourselves, even in all of our otherness from one another. It's a redemptive means of grace. It's a way to infuse structures with anti-structural values that can transform everyday social structures and ways of relating. It's a space of relating to one another without the strictures of roles and status and norms and hierarchy. And I think a thing I've been wondering about is whether we create a mistake even in our own imaginations when we talk about church as community sometimes. That when we talk about community, we often look for places where we can belong, where I can belong, which often comes with expectations of what is needed in order to feel that sense of belonging. And we most often find that sense of belonging with others who are similar to us in some way. And the similarities often mean that we have these shared values and expectations and rituals and practices and more that create the underlying structure of how our life is lived together. And when those structures are implicitly or explicitly challenged or disrupted by someone or something, we often run into trouble. We either get stuck not knowing how to proceed into the future, or we get into a conflict of some kind, or we make a choice, or by not making a choice, we still make a choice to stick with the status quo. And what these folks who are talking about liminality might say is that the value of liminal creativity and the communitas, that deep connection, the seeing the fullness of humanity in one another and connecting as human beings apart from our roles and status and the things that we do and the things that we know, is that in those spaces, even though they won't last forever, they will help us critique and be informed about the places where our social structures, our community structures are not working to receive the people who God is calling to God's self, that God is calling to us, and we are being called to belong together with. That communitas can bring a sense of deep clarity about what is keeping deeper communion with our own selves and with others and with God from happening. And then give us a sense of how we can shift so that community can faithfully remember and reenact God's redemptive grace with one another as we witness to the good news of Christ Jesus, that all are welcome in the family that God has been creating. The point is not that structure is bad, but that structure is in conversation with this communitas experience that we have, the ways in which the Holy Spirit is moving among us to call ourselves to one another, to belong together, and to call ourselves to belong to God. The call is not for us to maintain the center or to restore what was, but to keep faithfully witnessing in the community and the beyond to the redemptive grace of God. A redemptive grace that invited those who were deemed sinners by their work and vocation to the table. A redemptive grace that interrupted and challenged cycles of violence and oppression. A redemptive grace that crossed social separation boundaries to ask for water and to heal. A redemptive grace that restored criminals on the cross to their humanity in the beloved arms of God, even in times of death. A redemptive grace that transformed a religious hardliner to the work of expanding God's reign of love and justice beyond the Jewish community. What have been those communitas moments in your life, in the life of Knox Church, in your relationships, in the communities where you live and work? And how might you create those spaces for communitas and liminality? And how are those experiences of communitas asking you this day and me, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? The disciples did stop just standing there and looking up toward heaven. They did come back to Jerusalem, as you heard in the children's sermon, and they did elect a new apostle. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit and became witnesses in the various communities in Jerusalem and throughout the region and beyond. But the rest of Acts and much of the remainder of the New Testament tell the story of the struggle of living into God's reign. These widows were cared for, but those widows weren't. The Gentiles hear the good news and become followers of the way, but some people in the existing community were not happy about it and so ran around trying to kill Paul and Barnabas. Some move away from requiring circumcision and following Jewish ritual purity, and others insist that all those restrictions must be followed. And yet the way of Jesus was marginal and a liminal community from the very beginning, even among the Jewish people. And here's the final piece about liminality. Even though we often talk about liminality as a time thing, as if moving through time of liminality will get us to that next stable thing, Tseng and Lee and this passage might invite us to practice liminal creativity all the time, because we are living and called to be disciples in the already and not yet reign of God. Not to stand and look toward heaven, waiting for the return of what was, but to continue imagining and imaging the reign of God as witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.